How to live your plan with greater efficiency. Feeling chronically overwhelmed, beset by obstacles, and short on time can really get in the way of living a well life. Obstacles are unavoidable, but these issues can often be effectively managed by simply improving your efficiency. Here are some of the best approaches we've found for becoming more efficient and reclaiming your time. Better decision making. Tenacity, perspective, and flexibility help foster one of the greatest assets to a smooth plan: the ability to make conscious and efficient decisions with a minimum of deliberation. We're not saying you shouldn't take your time on big decisions, but most decisions aren't big, and we have to make them all day. In fact, we're bombarded with more choices than humans have ever known. The vast number of options is meant to feel like freedom, to help us customize the exact experience we desire. But in practice, it's like a continuous series of speed bumps, often leading to what's been dubbed decision fatigue. Overcoming decision fatigue. Studies show that after making numerous decisions, the quality of our decisions begins to decline. An analysis of 1,100 cases at a parole court found that prisoners who were seen in the morning received parole about 70% of the time, but those whose cases were reviewed later in the day received parole less than 10% of the time. Researchers attributed the disparity in verdicts to the judge's decision fatigue. The same phenomenon explains why we're susceptible to impulse purchases at the end of a shopping trip, after having made dozens of decisions on products. Not only do our decision-making faculties suffer as decisions mount, sometimes we avoid making any decision at all. We just stick with the default because it takes less effort. But when it comes to decisions affecting your life direction, taking the default is like driving with closed eyes. The simplest solution to decision fatigue is to reduce the number of decisions you need to make each day. One way to do this is by automating recurrent decisions so you can conserve mental freshness rather than using it on insignificant decisions. For example, pre-plan meals, outfits, carpools, bedtime, wake-up time, and any other routine events. Take the same route to work and school. Eat mostly the same foods that you enjoy and feel energized from. Make rules to reinforce healthful habits, such as not working on the weekends or exercising every day at a certain time. Automating decisions doesn't have to make life feel boring. It simply frees your consciousness to be more present in the experiences and decisions that matter the most. It's valuable to be able to quickly identify when the decision at hand is unimportant. Which is a better deal? 13 ounces of soup for $2.99 or 17 ounces of soup for $3.99? Unless you're on an extremely tight budget, just grab the amount of soup you need and move on. And don't just physically move on to the next item on your list, mentally move on too, because besides needlessly adding to your decision fatigue, being that nitpicky about money is a hindrance to having an experience of ease and abundance. When you give undue attention to an unimportant decision, you constrain your own flow. Giving it your time, energy, and focus is a ripoff because the investment greatly exceeds the return. Create a morning ritual. We recommend creating a morning ritual to set the tone and help align your intentions and actions for the day. This can facilitate easier decisions and a smoother overall flow. Rather than waking up and immediately presenting your mind with a pile of decisions, fill those precious first moments of wakefulness with something centering and meaningful. A ritual as simple as a few deep breaths and a good morning message to yourself can affect the quality of your whole day and the days of those you encounter. And if you want to go further with it, another idea is to rehearse your day with a visualization of yourself moving efficiently through all of your tasks, plus all the wonderful, sweet things you'll do throughout your day. Do your big decision-making when you're at your best, well-rested, hydrated, fed, calm, sharp, and clear. For most people, this means making your most important decisions early in each day, before you've exhausted your decision center. Fresh air also helps. Recent studies show that high levels of carbon dioxide indoors can impair decision-making. Create your schedule for the week in this state, or as close to it as you can get. If you schedule well, you'll eliminate the need to make many decisions throughout the week. Bend time. Time is more malleable than you might think. In Ayurvedic medicine, the movement of time is seen as being proportional to our speed and depth of living. If you're living fast and furious and engaging with the world at a shallow level, time passes more quickly and you even age faster. But if you slow down and go deep, dropping in to the present experience and really feeling and breathing into it, then time slows down and expands. Try it while engaged in your tasks. Multitasking is a myth, so forget about anything other than the task at hand. Instead, try to keep your attention on what you are actually doing and feeling, and broaden your perception. At first, this practice may seem forced, but over time, you'll notice that there's a greater degree of satisfaction and peace to your activities, and time stops feeling like your dominatrix. This is the infusion of space into structure. We tend to underestimate how long things will actually take, especially when gear switching is factored in. So schedule more time than you think you'll need. If you believe you can paint the bathroom in 2 hours, give yourself 3 hours. This way, you'll create more spacious containers for your activities. And if you finish early, you can always use the extra time to rest, take some deep breaths, stretch, or walk. Meanwhile, pay attention to the accuracy of your time estimates and let this inform your scheduling practice in the future. Know your rhythm. All of your faculties wax and wane. If you pay attention, you can learn when you're at your best with regard to focus, creativity, sociability, and other key skills for life management. Once you have a sense of your rhythm, plan your tasks to align with the peaks of relevant aptitudes. For instance, if you're most gregarious in the evening, try to schedule networking events around happy hour. If you're most creative around dawn, do your visionary work then. Learning your rhythm will also show you your optimal work interval, that is, how long you can sustain uninterrupted focus before you start losing efficiency. When your math skills decline, or you've spent 5 minutes trying to find the right word, notice how long it's been since your last break. If you have a brain-intensive activity scheduled for a couple of hours, plan breaks based on your work interval. Test your interval and adjust it if necessary. Most of us have a work interval of only 20 to 40 minutes. As you become better able to pre-schedule your breaks, you can begin to maximize their usefulness by planning short self-care activities during these times. Chunkify. Most people find it useful to group or chunk their tasks based on where or how they will be performed. For instance, all the tasks that involve calling someone could be grouped under phone. All the tasks that involve errands out of the house could be grouped under errands. And all the tasks that need to be done on a computer could be grouped under computer. Choose categories that make sense to you based on convenience. If many of your tasks involve emailing, you might want an email category. You can mark the tasks in your list with a letter or symbol to designate each category, or if you use a digital task list, you can create a list for each category. There are 3 main benefits to this practice. 1, it facilitates scheduling. For example, if you've marked the tasks in your running list with the categories they belong to, you can readily find all the phone calls you need to make and set up one session to take care of all of them. 2, even more valuable is that when you perform several similar tasks as a chunk, you get into a flow that makes you more efficient because you don't have to switch gears. 3, chunking can help you knock out a few extra tasks here and there. If you have to run an unexpected errand, you might want to take a look at your errands category to see if there's anything you can easily take care of while you're out. If you find yourself with a few spare minutes, you can check your phone or email lists if you like being productive. Redefine emergency. Some of the worst hijackers of attention are, quote, urgent matters and emergencies. Most alleged fires that need putting out are more like sparks or just dry logs handed to us by someone who's feeling emotional. Don't let emotion dictate priority. Your attention is exceedingly valuable. Just because someone writes you an email in capital letters doesn't mean they get to derail your schedule, which, after all, is the agreements you made to support your well life. There are very few genuine emergencies in life, but when one happens, you'll know that it's worth dropping everything. As for all the pseudo-emergencies, give them some breathing room before assessing whether a rearrangement of your schedule is warranted. And regardless of whether or not it's a true emergency, when it has blown over, go back to any agreements that were broken and clean them up. Honor your boundaries. Good boundaries aren't hostile. They're just clear and consistent. Believe in what you've established. This may mean saying no to requests on your time, sometimes by people you care about, sometimes by people who really need help, and sometimes for opportunities that seem promising. It also means saying no to your own temptation to blow off your plan, to let yourself be distracted, or to turn a quick search into a Wikipedia research marathon. We're not saying you should only do things that are self-serving. By all means, help your friends and serve the world. Just don't undermine your own agreements for it.
The structure, sweetness, and space of efficiency. Healthy structure not only serves to contain and organize the space, sweetness, and purposeful work you invite into your life, it should also protect the contents of these containers. It's kind of like a wilderness refuge. The fence is there so that the goodness inside can thrive without being tampered with. But it's up to you to honor the boundaries you've established.
Delegate. Most of us grew up in cultures that highly value independence and individual achievement, so it's not uncommon to feel that we only get credit for what we accomplish if we do it without help. The every man for himself mentality may also cause you to feel that you're burdening others if you ask for help. But for optimal efficiency and ease, and especially if you want to make big things happen, learning to delegate is essential. Any work that doesn't require you, your particular knowledge or skills, can be delegated to someone else. You have to be willing to let go of doing it yourself, which can be challenging, but this frees your energy to be focused on the things you enjoy more and the tasks that you're uniquely qualified to do. Be disciplined. Discipline is one of the most valuable human attributes. Whether it's the discipline to meditate, to exercise, to eat well, to overcome negative thoughts, to learn a language, to always speak kindly, to hone a skill, to lose weight, to train your dog, or to love yourself relentlessly, this quality is often the determining factor in many forms of success. Behind every accomplished person, from Salvador Dali to Mother Teresa, is a story of discipline. Discipline is, in essence, a commitment to adhere to some structure. And the heart of every structure is an agreement. When you commit to a structure, you build yourself into it. Discipline goes hand in hand with the ability to delay gratification. In Walter Mischel's famous experiments, preschoolers were given a marshmallow and instructed that if they could sit in a room with it for 15 minutes without eating it, they'd get a second one. When Mischel followed up decades later, he found that, in general, the kids who delayed gratification turned into adults who were less likely to abuse drugs, had higher self-esteem, had happier relationships, had a healthier body mass index, were better at handling stress, obtained higher degrees, and earned more money. Discipline is great stuff, but it's not always there when we need it. Like the decision-making mechanisms discussed earlier, discipline originates in the prefrontal cortex of the brain, which is a resource hog. You need to be in good shape in order for it to perform well, and it gets worn out from continuous use. Similar to decision fatigue, you can also experience discipline fatigue. The longer and more tightly you control yourself, like sitting in a long, tense meeting or acting like you fit in at a party, the higher the demand on your discipline battery. Researchers have theorized that the massive number of stimuli and choices that modern humans are exposed to is a likely explanation for why we seem to be less disciplined than our grandparents were. When you're in demanding circumstances, stressed, tired, hungry, eating poorly, drunk, or in pain, it's more of a challenge to remain disciplined. In these times, people tend to default to the impulsive animal brain. They fall off the wagon and make poor choices. Thus, being disciplined is not only the determination to stick with the plan, but also the ability to resist impulses that would sabotage it. Just to be clear, The positive self-discipline and impulse control we're speaking of are quite different from a need to control life. We want you to be able to make conscious choices and to follow the course you set out for yourself without being undermined by emotions and distraction. But we also want you to be able to go with the flow and make the most of what life brings. 7 tips for improving your discipline. 1. Attach your discipline to things you really care about. You can be disciplined by attraction or repulsion, by negative thoughts and feelings, or by positive ones. Would you rather quit smoking out of fear of cancer or because of a love for life? The former involves an ongoing relationship with fear, and the latter an ongoing relationship with love. Therefore, know why you want what you want. If it's motivated by negativity, see if you can begin to frame it in positive terms. Connect your dream to your values, gifts, and purpose. Make it something that goes beyond your own personal satisfaction. Every task and project isn't likely to be delightful, but if you keep your eye on your why, then at least the grunt work will feel purposeful. 2. Support your health. Eat well. Breathe deeply. Get enough sleep. Do Tai Chi. De-stress. Stay hydrated. Avoid low blood sugar. And above all, meditate. These practices will improve physical and mental functions conducive to sustained discipline. 3. Know yourself. Become more self-aware. Understand your impulses. Pay attention to the triggers that tempt you to break your agreements. In the moment when you're considering abandoning your agreement, slow down. Shift your awareness to your body and see what sensations are there. Let yourself experience them fully without any resistance. Perhaps there's some restriction, heaviness, or another unpleasant feeling. Breathe into it, then let it go. Don't let it sabotage you from below the radar. Maybe you'll still choose to give in to temptation, but at least it's a conscious choice now. And this awareness may be the start of a new freedom to do something different. 4. Strengthen your discipline muscle. Building discipline is like improving your physical fitness. It takes time, and you have to increase the challenge level gradually. You wouldn't give a full-time job, a baby, and a demanding fitness regimen to someone whose structure currently consists of playing video games all day. Add these items one at a time. Luckily, improving discipline in one area of your life tends to spill over into others. When you're on the verge of giving in, what would a trainer say? Stick with it for 5 more minutes. If you want to cut your workout short, give it 5 more minutes. If you planned to write a chapter of your book and you're considering blowing it off, just do it for 5 minutes. If you're trying to shop less but you really want that dress, just leave the store for 5 minutes. 5. Approach it as a matter of integrity. Be clear about the agreements that underlie your discipline. Honoring them is a demonstration of love and respect for yourself, and it builds your self-trust. 6. Craft your self-talk wisely. As we explained earlier, when faced with the temptation to be distracted or break an agreement, people are more likely to stay the course when the language they use with themselves is framed as, "I don't break my agreements," or "I don't get on Facebook during my workday," or "I don't eat gummy bears or skip my workouts," and so on, rather than "I can't." Whether or not you decide to go with this particular verbiage, we urge you to choose empowering self-talk. 7. Create conditions that will reduce the need for discipline in the first place. This may take some discipline at the outset, but will protect your resources for when you really need them. Here are some examples. Avoid situations that tax your willpower, like going to a candy store. If you can't avoid it, spend a few minutes beforehand mentally rehearsing yourself navigating it in a positive way. Set up an undesirable consequence. We don't like to have to use this approach, but sometimes it works, especially for short-term plans. For instance, you could promise a friend that if you break your agreement, you'll clean up all the dog poop in their yard. At least it's a positive outcome for your friend. Sticking with the plan then becomes an easy choice. Earmark time in your schedule and/or arrange the necessary resources for what you've agreed to do. Don't give yourself the bullshit excuse of being unable to stick with the plan because of circumstances beyond your control. Make it as easy as possible. The more convenient it is for you to do what you really want for yourself, the more likely it is that you'll do it. We are ruled by convenience much more than we'd like to admit. Create ritual and routine. If you can turn your plan into a series of habits, they become toll-free, and the need for discipline disappears. The next section will explain how to forge rituals to add sweetness, depth, and purpose to everyday tasks. We know it's not easy, but you can do it. It might even be terribly uncomfortable to learn to live by a plan and practice discipline, especially if you aren't used to it. But it's not unlike the discomfort you'd feel in your lungs if you were learning to run, or the discomfort in your fingertips if you were learning to play the violin. Don't convince yourself that discomfort means it's wrong. It's simply part of the growth process. The world needs your greatness. Let it be your guiding light.